Support us by supporting our sponsors, Fanatics, Reebok, Built Bar, SportsMemorabilia.com, and ShareASale.com. Visit them on our website. Welcome to ACC Nation. Lots of ACC football on the plate, along with comments from coaches, all coming up. But first this, a quick look at how ACC teams are faring in the polls going into a new week. UVA men and women lead the conference in soccer. The men are number three, the women are number one. There are seven ACC teams apiece in each of the polls. North Carolina leads seven ACC teams in the top 25 of collegiate field hockey. The Tar Heels hold the top spot. In cross country, among ACC teams, Notre Dame men are at number nine. NC State women are at number eight. There are four men's teams and five women's teams from the ACC in the top 30. Pitt leads the ACC in the volleyball top 25 at number four. There are two teams from the conference in the top 25. And the NCAA Committee on Infractions panel are prescribing some harsh measures for Georgia Tech basketball. And we're going to get our thoughts here with Will in just a moment. So I'm going to read off what they're calling for first, and then we'll jump into it. 4 years of probation, a postseason ban for the 2019-20 season, a $5,000 fine along with 2% of the men's basketball program budget, a reduction of one scholarship for each year of probation, recruiting restrictions for each year as well, a 3-year show cause order for the former assistant coach, vacating records during the period in which the ineligible players competed, and additional aspects as well. A long list of nasty that Georgia Tech has to face here, Will. And that couldn't have come at a worse time as the program looked like it might have been kind of turning a corner and going in the right direction. But I guess not.
Yeah, there's two ways to look at this. On one hand, you're probably thinking the NCAA is really starting to finally crack down on this stuff with what happened with the FBI probe. It looks like they're going to really try to nail Kansas, especially Bill Self for everything. You know, we've seen all the Adidas stuff go on, all the trials and all the people getting jail time. A lot going on right now with this stuff in the NCAA. And you could also look at it the other way is, oh, it's just Georgia Tech. They're going to get hammered. Kansas is a blue blood, so they're just going to get a little slap on the wrist. Mm. For what happened, I thought it was a little much. Probation, yeah, sure, I can get into that. Postseason ban, okay, yeah, they're probably making the NIT anyway, so I'm not sure that's a huge loss. Fine, okay, yeah, 2% of the budget. Yeah, I'm just not sure they should be losing a scholarship for this, but I think in all, this is going to, I mean, it hurts the program because we're not going to see guys like Alvarado, for example, or a player I mentioned, James Banks, who's a senior this year on this roster and now knows he will not be able to play in a postseason tournament this year. And it stinks that they came down with this in late September instead of, say, June, when they could say, hey, you know what, you can go transfer wherever you want without punishment, so you can play your last year of collegiate basketball and have a shot to make the postseason tournament. But no, they had to do it in late September when he's stuck in school. There's nothing he can do, and he's stuck knowing that he cannot play. He's basically just going to play out the regular season, and that's that. It's not fair to him, really. It's kind of, I think this really does put a stain on Josh Pastner's, career. But then again, you know, he took a Memphis program from John Calipari and made it very mediocre. And he took this Georgia Tech program is about where it's basically sustained where they were since he took over for Ryan Gregory. They're just below average to maybe average at best. So, I mean, I wonder if this ends up buying him another year or they could maybe they end up letting him go. But I know there's just a lot of I think they still have to pay off Gregory for a little while. I have a feeling money might be an issue, but I still think Bill Pastner will probably get another year with all this.
It's no wonder so many people have such a bad taste in their mouth about how the NCAA applies the rules, quote unquote rules, to schools, because it seems like some teams just get away with everything, and then other teams, they get hammered, and there's no equality in how things are applied, it's very disappointing.
And yeah, it goes back to the old saying by Jerry Tarkanian that the NCAA is so mad at Kentucky, they're going to give Cleveland State another year of probation.
You couldn't get much more accurate than good old Tark, man.
Yep.
Oh, man. We'll see how this all plays out. I guess they're going to fight this and see maybe if they can trim that down just a little bit. And maybe
they should.
Yeah, I would think so. Quite frankly, you know, I don't know that I can actually point my finger at Pastner and say, well, you're the guy who precipitated all this. But it's certainly, like you said, it does tarnish, you know, his reputation. And my gut is that based upon who is the athletic director there, I'm not sure that extra year is coming. I think that they're going to find any way that they can to move on and put a new face and go in a different direction and hopefully play some basketball again. So this is a shame. And like you said, with the senior being screwed out of that, there's just so much wrong about this. All right. Well, we'll see how this all plays out because it's going to be interesting. Let's get into football. Upsets among the top 25, Arizona State over number 15, California. You seen any trends here with the conference? And Oklahoma State over number 24, Kansas State, 26-13. Got any thoughts on either one of those games other than...
Well, hey, at least it wasn't like 67-63 as opposed like we had last week, but... Yeah, I was a little surprised that Cal lost to Arizona State. Yeah, they came off a big win over Ole Miss on the road. Their defense has been really good, but they struggled to muster points against Arizona State. And, you know, they're a sneaky, they're a decent team. I thought Cal would win this game, but I was wrong. And Oklahoma State, Kansas State, I actually thought they would pull the upset off. I think Oklahoma State's a pretty good team. That we saw last week, they hung with Texas. You know, Kansas State, you know, they're a good team. You know, their coach came from North Dakota State, who's, you know, won many national championships, and you can tell it's already 1 year, and he had them ranked, you know, a few games in. So it shows there's a lot to be positive about Manhattan. You know, Oklahoma State was a better team in this one for sure.
They handled this on both sides of the ball.
ACC games began on Friday with Duke visiting Virginia Tech.
Obviously, we are not ready, or we're not at the point where we can compete and play and have a chance to win against that team we played tonight. That's my responsibility and my fault. I do believe in our group, and I've got to find a way to get more out of them. I mean, in all three phases of the game, played a good football team tonight, and we're not much match for them. So.
Final score there, Will, 45-10, Duke over Virginia Tech. That was a surprise for an awful lot of people, especially the fans at Lane Stadium.
Yeah, the first quarter of the game looked like a typical night game in Blacksburg. The defense was going to dominate, and then the other three quarters happened. Worst home loss since 1974.
Wow!
I think you were still in high school, weren't you, Jim?
I was about 100 at that.
Yeah,
I was just turning the century mark.
Yes. Yeah, that was just a terrible effort on both sides. Virginia Tech used three quarterbacks in this game. Ryan Willis played, Hendon Hooker played, and Quincy Patterson played some. They combined to go 8 of 20 passing. Woof. That is bad. Like, I thought, you know, Willis would be like the third best quarterback in this league, and he's not had a great season so far, especially in this game. 7 of 18, 112 yards and a pick. Hooker, you know, he played a little bit, mostly did a lot of his work was in the run game. Same with Patterson. He came in and ran the ball once. But I have a feel like there's going to be a little bit of a theme with the quarterback controversy this week. When you see three quarterbacks play like that, Willis should be the starter, but just really says something when you have to commit to three quarterbacks like that. Meanwhile, Quentin Harris combined for 263 yards and three touchdowns. Kind of under the radar quarterback. I mean, yeah, he hasn't faced the stiffest competition. I mean, Alabama, yeah, you're not going to get a whole lot done against that. We can accept that. But still, you know, some of their other games, they haven't faced like great defenses. But there's still something to be said about going into Blacksburg and just obliterating the Hokies. And we've established over the past few years, Duke's offensive line has not been that great, but that's not been the case this year. Through four games, they've allowed just one sack. And some of that is, their offensive line's gotten better. Some of it's just Harris has an ability to escape pressure. And you know, it's really impressive to see just how well Duke has played at this point of the season. We thought they'd be a little bit of a rebuild, but, you know, they're looking like a team that could make a bowl this year.
You know, I was watching the presser with Justin Fuente, and the only word that came to mind was flummoxed. He looked like a combination of, like, oh, my God, I'm really PO'd. I'm at a loss of words. It was just this combination of emotions that you could just see washing across this man that he just, you know, it just, I really kind of felt bad for him, to be honest with you. He just looked like, you know, I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer. And, you know, it showed on the field. So next game, Syracuse over Holy Cross. Not a surprise here. 41-17. The offense doesn't look too bad. Defense is still a question for the Orange.
I mean, they did a good job. They held Holy Cross to 138 total yards. But you know what? Typical FBS, FCS stat pattern game. And Tommy DeVito threw four touchdowns. But still, outside of that, I mean, they got a lot of their stuff done early. And then he just kind of struggled. And you know, they took them out because they were ahead and then brought in the backup. Yeah, they're not a whole lot to take from this game, really. Syracuse did what they needed to do, and now we move on.
You know, obviously, was not the Pitt football team that I'd like to see. I don't think we came out with the emotion that we could have. I thought we came out flat, and blame me for that, because we've got to come out, you know, revved up and ready to go every week. After an emotional win like we had a week ago, sometimes it's hard to get them going, and I didn't feel it from the beginning. Obviously, we had a lot of guys playing the football game, to say the least. Backup quarterbacks, a couple tailbacks out. Like I said, you know, we got the win. We found a way to get it done. But just, you know, critical errors all over the place. 13 penalties, ridiculous. Late hit out of bounds, you know, thinks he's inbounds. Maybe we got to brighten up the sidelines or something. But, you know, just little things here and there that stop drives. Way too many penalties and you know, we got a roughing the punter. Shake my head on that one. But, you know, just little stuff all over the place. But, you know, I was happy for Todd Sibley to get his opportunity to go out there and run it and get it done. Nick Patty made some plays when we needed to. Nice one down the pipe there with Valik. And then Taysier made some great catches at the end to put us ahead.
Next game is Pitt over Delaware. And that final score, maybe telling, maybe not. 17-14. Delaware is really not that much of a slouch team by any stretch. And Pitt came off a really big game. So this kind of made sense in some ways. But it was, you know, it's back to that old, we don't know what team we're getting from week to week with Pitt.
Yeah, that's true. But then again, you could also say this was an emotional letdown spot after what happened last week against Central Florida. They didn't have Kenny Pickett in this game. He injured his shoulder last week in that win over UCF. Did not play in this game. They brought out Nick Patty, and he was pretty good. 23 of 37, 271 yards, two touchdowns. Brought another backup running back. Todd Sibley Jr. had 25 career rushing yards before this game, and ended up running for 106 yards against Delaware, averaging over 4 yards a carry. You know, Delaware actually led this game 14-10 throughout most of the third and early into the fourth quarter. And then Patty hit Taysier Mack for a touchdown early in the fourth quarter to kind of put him ahead for good. But, you know, Pitt's defense was, you know, they're really good at getting to the quarterback. They're tied for the league lead in sacks. And their defense has gotten much better over the course of this season.
I have a new nickname for Pitt's OC, Mark Whipple. Mark cracked the Whipple. Man, I'm telling you, he was just tearing up. Patty on the sideline, and I'm not sure Patty knew how to take it half the time. He would go over and talk with Pickett, and you could tell that Pickett was kind of going, "Hey man, it's okay. Don't." Wow, this dude is on fire and lighting up the backup quarterback. But you're right, he didn't do too bad. I mean, you know, for somebody who's just stepped in, and you know, I don't think he's played any this season so far, so. That was not a bad performance. He had a couple of throws that were pretty incredible and really on the spot.
They played cleaner, and they played more effectively than we did to win the game. Ultimately, our inability to consistently protect our quarterback in the pass game was the difference in the game. So 8 sacks on the day, 2 of which, one was a direct defensive score for Notre Dame. The other led, obviously, to a score. And those 14 points were basically the difference in the game. That does not mean we win if those are taken away, but that was the kind of game we were anticipating where it was within a field goal at the end. We thought we had to steal a possession or possessions. That happened with our onside kick, and they had one turnover there, but ultimately 4 turnovers in the second half offensively. When you're playing a strong team on the road, that's... in most every case, insurmountable in terms of your chance to effectively then manage and win the game. So again, the 4 turnovers in the second half, mostly directly or tied directly to our protection. I thought defensively we played relatively consistent the entire game. I was disappointed in the 1 rushing touchdown we gave up second half late. And so that I was not pleased with that one. So. Yeah, going into the bye week now, and some weaknesses exposed, some areas to improve, targeted, and that's what we'll do.
Notre Dame over Virginia, 35-20. That game, that final score, really doesn't tell the story, quite frankly. But I thought some of the words that Bronco shared with us here just a second ago certainly conveyed his frustration and his realization that they were so close in so many ways, but you know, you can't afford to make the kind of turnovers that the Cavaliers did.
You can't have Bryce Perkins sacked 8 times either. And there are a lot of things to look at from this game. Yeah, Virginia, you know what, this game at halftime, 17-14, but the second half was really all Notre Dame after Virginia started the second half with an onside kick that they recovered. And anybody who knows me is I am a big Robert and I critic, the offensive coordinator. I thought I'll give him credit. I thought he called a good first half. The second half, no adjustments whatsoever. You got a quarterback in Bryce Perkins who's injured. He's, you know, been hobbling on his knee. He's just not himself. Anybody who watches Virginia knows he's not the explosive Bryce Perkins we come to know. But as said, I would call these drop back passes where he'd go 5-step, 7-step drops, and the offensive line's not very good. Let's be real here. And he's just getting pummeled and pummeled and pummeled time after time after time. And then you're not putting him in a position to succeed. And by the time he finally fixed it, it was 35-17. I'll admit 28 of those points of Notre Dame's 35 points came off of turnovers. Going back to what Jim said about doesn't really tell the story, it's all about the turnovers. And Grant, one of them should not have happened because there was a play where Perkins was sacked and he fumbled and the Notre Dame defender picked it up went for a touchdown. Should have been targeting on the play. The touchdown should never have happened. It should have been a personal foul in Notre Dame. Never reviewed it, but I think anybody who watched that game knows the officiating was horrible in that game. I'm not going to sit here and make excuses. Because let's just say it was very one-sided. I think there's a lot of problems with this Virginia team, despite the 4-1 record. The nice thing about it is they have a bye week to get healthy, get Bryce Perkins back. But they got to fix the running game. Wayne Talapapa only carried the ball 10 times for 31 yards. But as a team, because of all the sacks, they ran for just 4 yards. 29 carries, essentially. And some of that was Bryce Perkins, you know, getting a few yards here and there. And obviously, you know, like I said, he was sacked 8 times. And obviously, in college, that counts towards your rushing statistics. Positives for Virginia, the receiving game, Hussey Stubal and Joe Reed, both over 100 yards. 4 more sacks. They along with Pitt are tied for the league lead in sacks. And looking ahead to 2 weeks after with the bye, Virginia gets Miami, and yeah, Miami has one of the better defensive lines in the league, but Miami might have one of the worst offensive lines in the league. They're giving up on average 4.5 sacks a game. That could be a game where Virginia's defense could feast.
You've said, you know, that you've had your criticism of Robert and I for some time, and I wanted to watch another year worth of football at least before I started, you know, really critiquing. And I will say that after watching that game, I wholeheartedly agree with you. There were no adjustments that I could see. This whole running the ball, look, Notre Dame's defense, their line is stout. They just are stout.
Yeah, that's one of the best defensive lines, and probably the best if not second best defensive line Virginia's going to face all season. You mentioned the rushing. I even saw former players like Kurt Bankert say why they're down 35-17 in the fourth, third and goal from the 10, and you're calling a run play.
Yeah, I don't get it. I really don't. And I saw that, and I was literally just going like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And you know, you talk about how Perkins has that injury to his knee, and he is not moving. He's not completely himself. He's certainly probably about 80-85%, I would say. I saw things being called that, so far as I was concerned, and you know, and it's easy to be an armchair quarterback or coach. But quite frankly, when you start seeing repetition of things that are not working and it continues that way through the entire game and you don't see what you think ought to be adjusted for, you begin to question. And therefore, I am right there with you in questioning Robert and I. And what are you doing, dude? You know, calling a running play on a third down and running it straight up the middle. What are you doing? Seriously? I mean, you know, for the most part, you called a great game at the beginning. You made things work, but you had to know Kelly was going to go in at half and come out and shut you down. And you can't have Perkins back in the pocket for over 3 to 4 seconds holding on to the ball because his guys are not getting open because you're running the same stuff you did in the first. They figured you out. It drives me nuts to watch that kind of stuff. And again, armchairing, but dude, facts don't lie.
It doesn't hurt in the ACC Coastal standings, which is nice. This is a game, you know, through the first into the third quarter where you could say Virginia literally had a shot to win this game. And thanks to the play calling, it didn't work out because I felt the defense did its job. You know, credit to the defense because they did everything they could to contain Notre Dame. But when you're, you know, turning the ball over and, you know, setting your defense up to essentially fail because Notre Dame has a short field, then yeah, you're not going to win games.
This was two good teams fighting each other, and it came down to a thin margin, and the thin margin in the end pulled away from us with 3 points. It's a hard deal, but I'm proud of the way our kids played, and I'm energized about how explosive we were on both sides, and I like where we're going to head right now, and I like the development of our football team.
So Wake Forest just got by Boston College 27-24, and as you just heard, Steve Adazio disappointed. So I think that he's keeping a brighter outlook for games that are coming up. And Wake Forest did a great job of, you know, just showing that they had just that much more to put into it and delivering the win.
Yeah, impressive showing in this game for both teams, really. You talked about Adazio. They ran for 252 yards in this game. A.J. Dillon had 159 on the ground. Ground gave their part. Anthony Brown didn't. You know, he did a couple interceptions. As a total, they turned it over 3 times, and you can't turn it over 3 times and expect to win a ball game. We talk about Wake Forest. Their defense is a weakness. They allowed 533 yards to Boston College. And I'll tell you what, I'm gonna give y'all a hot take right now. The best quarterback in the ACC this year is Jamie Newman. Prove me wrong. Look at the stats. Prove me wrong. Trevor Lawrence has not been very good. He's been good, but he's not Trevor Lawrence of last year. Jamie Newman has been better. Yeah, he threw for 243 yards this game, had 102 yards on the ground. Really good passer. His receivers are, you know, he's putting them in positions to succeed. Scotty Washington had a nice day. Kendall Hinton, Sage Surratt, that's a really nice trio of receivers right there. And I'm telling you, Wake Forest is, they're 5-0 for the first time in 12 years or so. It was like 2006, 2007, somewhere in there. And I'm telling you, they have a shot to be 7-8-9-0 undefeated when they take on Clemson later in the season. Wake Forest is a really good team.
I was so proud of the way that our team fought. They prepared. The coaches had them prepared. They fought tooth and nail with the best team in the country and came down to the end. I felt like we couldn't win the game unless we were going to make a 4th-and-1 in the fourth quarter. So that's why we went for the 4th-and-1 at the plus 45. And we didn't make a 3rd-and-1 or a 4th-and-1. So that was such a key play. But then we came back and have the drive at the end of the game to win. And I felt like with the clock getting down to 1:16, that our best chance to win the game was to go for two. Because we'd been out there a lot on defense and worn down, and they had more depth than we had. And I just felt like it was our chance. And then we still had a minute 16. We were trying to kill some time, but we scored too fast. And Phil thought he had a good play to win the game on the 2 points and just didn't do it. So I told the players that we're not into moral victories. That doesn't happen. It can't happen because you got to learn to win. You got to winning's what matters. But that as a coach, you're a reflection of your team. And I told them in my 31 years of coaching, I've never been prouder of their effort because if I'm a reflection of the way those guys fought their guts out tonight, I'm very, very proud of that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Trevor Lawrence. Clemson over North Carolina, 21-20. And Mack Brown just outlined, you know, the reasoning behind why they did what they did at the end of the game. And I can't argue with Mack Brown on this. I saw it through the same lens that he saw it. And I think it was a good move. Now, I've seen tons of criticism of, you know, the play that was called. And I guess to some degree, yeah, I kind of questioned a little bit of that. But, you know, he would have been a genius if it had been pulled off. Real close, right down to the last second. 21-20, Clemson defeats North Carolina.
I have zero issues with the way that played out. No issues with Carolina going for two there. I thought that was absolutely the right move. No issues. I don't have a big issue with the play call either. It just didn't work out. That's all. Clemson tends to go through one of these games a year where they are in a one-score game and when they probably shouldn't be. But then again, this is North Carolina, and there are three certainties in life. Death, taxes, and Carolina being in a one-score game. Sam Howell, very impressive, did everything that he could to, you know, will Carolina to a shot at the victory. I talked about Trevor Lawrence, just 18 of 30, 206 yards. Not a bad game, but you know, not great either. It's not what we come to expect of him. T. Higgins, 6 catches, 129 yards. But go back to Carolina for a second. What made them so successful yesterday is they ran for 146 yards, averaging over 4 yards a carry. That's they really good job by Carolina of getting yards on the ground, because that's something that's tough to do against that Clemson front four.
He's gonna be all right. We'll be all right. Coach, I think it's there ain't no reason to panic. We're going to be all right.
Want to know what life is really like after the game's all over? Real athletes are here to share their true stories of adversity and triumph every week on After Orange Slices. Even if you don't like sports, pro athletes, former college stars, celebrities, coaches, public speakers, doctors, and all kinds of experts, join the show, and there's a little bit of something for everybody. Join me, Bridget, for a slice of inspiration, plus your everyday sports news sprinkled in. New episodes every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Be sure to visit our sponsors on the website, accnation.net. And while you're listening, we'd appreciate a ranking of the program on your favorite platform to let us know how we're doing. Our next game up, Temple over Georgia Tech, and I really believe that Temple's coaches just totally took their foot off the gas, not to embarrass their former coach. 24-2.
Yay, they got 2 points. And I feel bad because I feel like, you know, I spent the last couple of weeks ripping on Georgia Tech, and I'm not meaning to. It's just things have not been going very well for them lately. There was a bit on Twitter from ESPN talking about, you know, what it would college be like, football be like, if there wasn't a forward pass. And I tweeted, we saw Georgia Tech for a decade. We know what it looked like.
We still know what it looks like.
Yeah. They attempt to throw passes, but they don't have I don't think they have the right quarterback for this offense just yet.
Yeah.
Well, Lucas Johnson sat out yesterday to injury, but still, you know, Jeff Collins used the two quarterback rotation this game. How many times do I have to say that it does not work?
You're going to have to keep saying it, apparently, or you're going to have to hang out at some of the Waffle Houses.
I saw this way too many times during Mike London's regime at Virginia, where he would go to one quarterback, then rotate in another, then bring the starter back in. Just no, you could never let another quarterback get into rhythm. And even Bronco Mendenhall did it the first year in the Virginia Tech game, and I hated it then, still hate it, still don't get why coaches do it. Either way, they used James Graham and Tobias Oliver in this game. They combined 14 of 35 for 174 yards. 14 of 35. That's not good. Doesn't help either that Georgia Tech had 3 turnovers, all inside Temple's 35-yard line. One of them is at the goal line, a fumble recovery. Ugh, Georgia Tech is not very good right now. And we all knew that. I mean, yeah. It was going to be... it's going to be a long season because, you know, you're just a radical change in ideas, especially on the offensive side of the ball. It's good. But I think people are kind of not liking the way Collins is going about things just in his attitude. But I think, it's going to be a long year. You're going to have to deal with the growing pains, unfortunately.
The old suck it up, buttercup. You know, things will be better next year. There's no doubt about it. I'm crossing my fingers along with every Yellow Jackets fan out there.
Great win for our football team. Had a good feeling about this game going into the week. Our guys had a by far our best week of practice this entire year, this past week. And I thought our guys came really locked in to practicing and understanding what we're doing and did a good job of executing in practice throughout the weekend. I thought it paid off for us tonight. And it was good. We made another step in the right direction, and we got to keep improving. And it's feel good to go into a bye week with a win, and hope we get some guys healthy. And again, I can't thank our fans enough for showing up tonight and showing out. I thought they was a big part of our victory, and I appreciate them so much for showing up tonight.
Florida State over NC State, 31-13. Now, a surprise for me from the standpoint of the point spread, because I thought for sure that the Pack was going to keep this a lot closer. But as Willie Taggart says, maybe they're turning the corner. Well, he kind of, in his presser, he said he thought that they started turning the corner last week. And I think that we're seeing it slowly but surely. There's this, things are starting to click.
I thought they turned the corner 2 weeks ago against Virginia, but you started to see something, a little something there. But I think it's not far-fetched to say Virginia was just a better team, is a little bit better team. But you know, you're starting to see it now. The people calling for Willie Taggart's head might be a little premature. Now they've won a couple in a row, starting to look more like a competent team. Hey, and it also helps that the weather is starting to be more like fall-like, so your team's not getting fatigued at 105 heat index. No James Blackman in this game. Alex Hornibrook started, threw for 316 yards, 3 touchdowns, looked really nice. Cam Akers, just 83 yards on 17 carries, pretty good, averaged just under 5 yards a carry. NC State's defense had 8 sacks against Florida State, 14 tackles for loss, yet still allow Florida State to score 31 points. And going, you know, their offense was not very good. They went 3 quarterbacks in this game. You know, talking about Now, I don't think they really didn't rotate quarterbacks as they started with Matthew McKay. He didn't play very well. They went to Bailey Hockman, Florida State commit player who transferred out over to NC State, played most of the game. Hockman went 21 of 40, 208 yards. And then at the end of the game, they went to Devin Leary, another highly touted kid who did well in limited action. But I think it's safe to say we have a quarterback controversy on our hands in Raleigh, and I'm not sure how this one's going to play out. It's a tough one. They had suffered a pretty gruesome injury. Ricky Person had a pretty nasty injury early in the game. They had to take him out on the cart, but the good thing that I saw were x-rays were negative, so it doesn't necessarily look as serious as it seemed, but you know, he could still be out for a considerable amount of time.
Subscribe to ACC Nation Podcast and listen to ACC Nation Radio on your favorite platform. Connect with us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube at ACC Nation. And for a shout-out, drop us an email. contact@accnation.net. contact@accnation.net. We'd like to say hi to you. And as always, hook up with the guys on Twitter by going to the links page at accnation.net. Until next time, cheers.
Score.